Welcome to episode 7 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week we're going to talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Amy, Lindsay, and Andy. Our topic today is Europe, a big topic for sure, but we are seeing a lot of interest in travel to Europe lately and thought we could at least paint the topic with a broad brush this week. Let's get started. So guys, what are the hottest destinations in Europe right now? What are we selling?
Well, I'm getting a lot of requests for Scotland and England. I think it's a great sort of starter country for people, and I think a lot of attention is being drawn to Scotland, both for the events going on there with their marketing campaigns currently, and also with the upcoming television series that ties into the name of our agency. The Outlander series seems to have people all a-Twitter about Scotland as well, and I'm getting a lot of questions about seeing some of the sites there.
It's an anniversary year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just had a cruise that went into, it's going into Spain, France. Gosh, I forget all the ports it's going to. That's one thing. Another big one I'm getting is people are wanting to go by rail a lot of places. I've had two different people ask me if they can start in Spain, take the rail to Paris. I don't even know. I need to call a supplier for that one. About the rail, because I'm not as familiar with the rail, but yeah.
Well, Elizabeth, you just took the rail, right?
I did. I think the rail is actually very it's intimidating sometimes for Americans, and it also has a bit of a romantic flavor. Everybody thinks of the trains in Europe as, you know, because we don't travel by train much in this country, and when we do, it's a very long trip usually. Mm-hmm. There's not much short distance, but because of the size of Europe, it's actually quite easy to take a train from one country to another, and it's actually a great way to travel, and you won't find yourself alone on the train. You know, a lot of people in Europe travel that way as well. It is a very popular means of transportation.
Train in Europe, is it like Amtrak, like we're used to here in America?
Absolutely not. It's a very, very popular and very commonly used means of transportation. The cost of gasoline and the cost of vehicle ownership in England really prohibits other people from owning a car. I was born and raised in England for 25 years. I never owned a vehicle over there. I took the train and the bus. I never had to walk more than about half a mile to get to a train station. Every local village, hamlet even, has a train station. Very, very easy to get around by train. It's not just linking the major cities, it's linking sort of all the outlying areas. Even within large cities, it's easy to get around by the city trains or even the underground in the larger cities. So the train is very, very accessible, very affordable, and very, very easy to use. Easily signposted, timetables are readily available, and lots of friendly people willing to point you in the right direction if you need that too.
And the timetables are accurate too. It's not like, you know, well, we estimate that the train may leave at this time or this time. And one thing that was really strange for me is the connection times are actually very short. And when you're used to traveling by air, you don't accept a 10-minute change. That's just not a normal thing.
10 minutes?
But 10 minutes. Yeah. 10 minutes is plenty of time to change trains.
It is. So, just got to hop underneath that tunnel and get across 7 platforms.
See? Easy peasy.
So, is it true? I have clients that say, okay, I want to fly into Europe. And then I've heard that the flights are so cheap. Once you get there, you can visit a million different countries for really cheap. Is that really that true?
European domestic flights, you've got to be careful. If you fly with one of the better known airlines, you're probably good. And yes, within Europe, flights are relatively inexpensive. Probably no worse than flying domestically or similar to flying domestically within the US.
Okay.
But you've got to be careful. There are a lot of what they call bare bones airlines that will really sort of charge you for just about everything that you use, whether it's charging for baggage or charging for in-flight meals or all sorts of sundry things. You've really got to be careful. And there are a lot of budget airlines that will sort of that you really sort of have to be careful of that look cheap but really aren't in the grand scheme of things. But yes, on the whole, traveling around Europe by air, I mean, my dad flies from central England to Spain all the time for next to nothing. I remember when I was studying in Germany, I flew from northern England to Frankfurt for, you know, probably the equivalent of about $100 round trip. It's very, very accessible.
Yes, but how long ago was that, Andy?
Just a few years ago.
I will say you don't want to wait too long, though, to book those because, you know, and especially in the summer, because I was looking just recently at air from Paris to Rome, and it was very comparable to the train, but the train was going to be an overnighter. I mean, you know, you're going to, it's a long, all things considered, a long train ride, but the flights were quite pricey.
Well, there's something to be said about the romance of an overnight train. I mean, how often can you say you do that? I used to do that when I was working as a tour guide in Europe. Occasionally, my usual tour of Germany was cancelled. I'd have to sort of hot-foot it across Europe to the coast and to the port in Calais in France, take the overnight train to Paris. It's really actually kind of cool. you get a sleeper car. Somebody comes in and checks on you, asks if you're all right, and brings you a drink. And it's just, you know, really something else rather than just sitting in a seat watching the world go by. You kind of go to sleep and wake up in a completely different country or a completely different mindset and a completely different language. I mean, how cool is that?
Although, you know, we say romantic, but let's keep in mind that it's bunk beds on a train. So, yes, it is different, but yeah, romance might not exactly be, it might not be exactly what you're expecting if you're expecting a romantic train ride. So we'll leave it at that. Family friendly show and all that. So
now that we touched on, flying around within Europe, one of the biggest things about getting to Europe is the cost of airfare. So what are you guys finding of that? That is a little bit prohibitive right now.
Yes, it is. Airfare's definitely gone up. The price of jet fuel has increased. And Europe isn't quite as inexpensive a destination as it was, say, 3 or 4 years ago. But that being said, once you get there, I think traveling in and around, if you sort of limit yourself, you're not trying to go from, you know, say, Portugal to Greece, clear across from Western Europe to Eastern Europe, I think things are pretty affordable. It is that initial expense, though, of getting across the Atlantic Ocean that does put people off. And yes, it has increased in price.
Yeah, I think there's some sticker shock with that right now.
There is. And it really breaks a budget, too, because, you know, the idea is of spending 2 weeks in Europe is something that sort of has always been there. It's like, oh, we're going to spend 2 weeks in Europe this summer. We're going to take the kids all over Europe. But then you find out that your land portion costs as much as your air to get a family of four over there. I mean, it is a 50-50 split. And that's really hard to swallow when you're talking about 2 weeks in Europe, which is already pretty pricey. So your, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 trip becomes a $10,000 or $12,000 trip very, very quickly, very quickly. So, although it shouldn't, I don't think it should keep people from going to Europe. I think that as long as you plan a little bit, it's not really, you can't hop over to Europe the way that you used to be able to and take advantage of some $99 fare to Heathrow. You should be watching fares further out than 6 months and, you know, maybe avoiding the summer months to try and
absolutely
keep those
I think if you can definitely go off season, if you don't mind a little bit of cooler temperatures.
Cold, wet, rain.
Well, maybe you want to avoid northern Scotland.
I thought we said Scotland was the hot destination.
Well, not hot literally.
Not hot literally. But yeah, if you're willing to go maybe sort of earlier on in the season or towards the end of the season or off season, then I think you can find some deals. If you look around and book early, you can definitely find some deals. And that's really the way to do it, because this, don't let the price put you off seeing the culture, the architecture, the history. I mean, I've taken my now 11-year-old son over to England twice, and there's no more cooler thing than seeing him explore a 900-year-old castle. I mean, that he wouldn't have that opportunity to do here in the US. And sort of explore the local cuisine, Yeah, he turned his nose up at black pudding. But
most smart people would, yeah.
Just shows that he's got a little bit about it. But trying the local cuisine, he was more than willing to try some Indian food. He loves fish and chips whenever we go back and visit family. But, when you travel, you try and travel like a local. Sort of eat the local Italian food in Rome or the Parisian food in Paris. Just eat like a local. Try the local delicacies.
So, you know, that brings me up a question. Escorted tours in Europe, you know, we have a lot of people who don't speak the languages and they want to know more. And they go the escorted tour route because there's that comfort of knowing they're going to have a tour guide that speaks English. And so how much do they delve into the local culture? Do you get that authentic experience when you're on a tour?
It's difficult. Yes, you can. I did work for a large tour company doing motor coach tours around Europe. The problem that you encounter is that it's very much go, go, go. It's not that way with every company. Some sort of spend two or three nights in each location. But if budget is really an issue, then you're going to spend, you know, one, maybe two nights in larger European destinations, capital cities. But you are doing a lot of traveling. There's a lot of miles to cover. But you do see a lot of the country. It's just in a rather sort of condensed period of time. That's not to say that that's not the way to do it. You can definitely get a lot out of an escorted tour.
Well,
it depends on your guide.
It appeals to me because you keep hearing about the happy lines. You know, like if you're going to go see the Vatican, you're not going to stand in that long line that all those other people are standing in. You're going to get the kind of side door route into it. And yeah, so for me, I would like that. You know, there's one company that I really like called G Adventures, and they talk about how they kind of delve more into the kind of the hippie side of the culture. I don't know if you want to call it that, but more of the, I think it would appeal to more of like the Whole Foods crowd, if you want to put it that way.
Well, and a younger crowd too, I think, too.
Or, yeah, academia crowd maybe.
He's young.
Hmm?
Sandy is young.
Yes, Sandy
that's
is
true.
Young.
I'm probably the youngest one here.
That's definitely something. If you can avoid the lines by using an escorted tour, which is one of the pros of using a company like that, then that's definitely the way to go. If you go on your own, you're often relying on a company to try and get you in, or you're going to have to wait with everybody else at the back of the line, often waiting and using up valuable time that you could be using to do something else. And that is really one of the plus points of going with an escorted tour and with a group.
So, Lindsay, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about another tour group, another type of tour company. Do you want to talk about Adventures?
Adventures by Disney. They do offer a hassle-free way to kind of navigate the lines. You get a more VIP experience. You are often, all of the activities, most of the activities they offer are private, if not exclusive. You're definitely passing at least the general public. I mean, like at the Vatican, you have a private entry to see the Sistine Chapel. You get to go into the Louvre after hours and get to have dinner there. They just offer a more, a more private way to see the more popular things. They are a little more pricey. They're definitely not.
Get what you pay for.
On a shoestring budget, it's not. But you, it's one of those things. I personally feel you get what you pay for. And one of the things that Disney is really, really good at is the art of storytelling. And with Adventures by Disney, they've kind of taken it a step further and made you part of the story. And you delve into these experiences where you're not just there as a tourist. You're not just there to see sights. You are, you're on this guided tour with two adventure guides, one of whom is a local who was born in the country that you're visiting. One of them is a cast member. And along the way, you get other local guides and you're doing things like making pasta or making mozzarella or while the adults are off on experiencing the glory of wine tasting. Yeah, the junior ventures are learning the art of stomping grapes. So there is something kind of for every age group. I mean, they even have tours just for adults only, for people who maybe don't want to go that route with kids. But I love the way that they incorporate the whole family. So you have your time alone as an adult, and you have your time with your kids, and the kids have their time to experience this great thing. Like in the Louvre, they have a scavenger hunt. So while the adults are appreciating all this amazing artwork that you spend your whole life hearing about, the kids are off doing a scavenger hunt, and they get to experience on their level these great works of art in a way that they can appreciate it.
I think that's one of the important things to remember about escorted tours too, is sometimes I hear the objection that I hear for escorted tours is, well, I don't want to be herded around like a bunch of cattle. And I think that, you know, there are different tour companies out there. And first of all, escorted tour companies know that that's their reputation. So they're doing something about it and really trying to reimagine, using a Disney term, reimagine their product. But there's also different types of tours. So we talked about G-Adventures, which is a little bit more adventurous and can include things like cycling and hiking and sort of that more outdoorsy aspect, or small river cruising, that sort of thing. But then, you can get like a budget tour where you have more people on a bus, but you get to, it'll cost you less money, or you can go with somebody like Adventures by Disney or even CIE, who specializes in the British Isles, to do a smaller group tour, not as many people crammed in, but you're going to pay a little bit more for that.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is cruising Europe. I mean, there's so many places to go when you want to cruise, not just ocean cruises, but river cruises, and so much to see. You could practically see all of it.
So, Amy, is your client doing a Barcelona to Rome, or?
Looking at Barcelona, he's somewhere incorporating the rail system. He wants to do Barcelona, France. He would love to go into Italy, too. He's looking at like at least 2 weeks. And not with a tour company. He was kind of going away from a tour company and going away from a cruise to see all this. He wants to do it on his own. So yeah, he wants to do it right, which is going to be fun to help plan.
That's going to be another bucket list trip, right?
Exactly.
When I get that itinerary back, yeah, I'm going to do all that. Yeah, and then once we figure out the countries he wants to see and the places he's going to stay, and then we'll work from that and kind of do the tours that he's kind of interested in each of those areas. So.
Well, that's one of the attractions I find of Europe, is just the great differences in the different countries. There are so many countries in Europe and so many different cultures, languages, types of architecture, types of cuisine, just different experiences. You're going to get a different experience if you go to the Iberian Peninsula, Spain and Portugal, than if you go to Hungary, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, or the northern part of Europe, you head up towards Scandinavia, or even Greece and Turkey. I mean, there's just such a diversity in within the countries there. I think it's just such a great attraction, and it's all there within easy reach.
So let me ask you this. If I was going to go to Europe, what do I need to know about, you know, my credit card? What's the exchange rates? Do I have to worry about those? What are chip credit cards? Can I plug in my hairdryer?
No, don't plug in your hairdryer.
You can, but I don't recommend it without taking due precautions.
Yeah.
It's easier now than it was when I was running tours over there in the mid-90s, now that the euro is a predominant currency throughout most of Europe. But there are still places where you're going to have to change currency, in Switzerland, Denmark, and England, for example, Britain, that didn't join the euro nation. But it's much easier than it ever used to be. But yes, that is definitely something to consider. And if you're traveling on a Sunday, you know, bear in mind that a lot of banks won't be open. You've got to kind of plan ahead. Electrical system is different in each country. The type of electrical outlets will be different in each country.
In each country?
Yes. In each country.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's like driving from North Carolina to South Carolina, having a different plug.
Yep.
With a different electrical appliance and a different plug, yes.
Yep. Well, and there's a great deal of anxiety about these credit, these chip credit cards. And I know Andy can talk about them a lot, but, you know, having just been there without a chip credit card, because you can't really get them in America very easily, the ATM machines did work, and you will have some access to your money. I know that people have problems with them. I've heard everything from, if they have raised numbers on them, they won't work in the ATM. And to that I say, maybe you should just try another ATM. We usually use the ATMs in the train station. That seemed to be very, obviously in a train station, you got people coming and going from all sorts of different countries. But Andy, can you talk any more about the chips and sort of what they do and what they...
Well, the chip, it always sort of amazes my family when they come over from England that nobody bothers here to really ask for identification or for them to sign anything. The chip is all tied in with a four-digit PIN number, typically, that is in lieu of a signature. So whenever you swipe your credit card, it asks you for that four-digit PIN that's associated with the card that, in theory, does not allow for it to be... the number to be stolen unless somebody gets hold of your PIN as well as the card. I've read articles that this is going to be coming to the US soon and be more prevalent, especially given some of the recent spate of credit card hijackings and number hijackings, that we can expect that down the road. But to be honest, I have both English and American credit cards, and I've never experienced a problem. The larger the place you're in, the easier it is, the more common it is to see international currency exchanges and credit card use. If you're in somewhere like Munich, you're not going to have a problem. If you're in somewhere like Leek Town in Staffordshire, then you might encounter a little bit of a problem, but you just try a couple of machines and you're not going to have too many issues. Believe me, people want you to spend money.
Exactly. And that was, I was in Switzerland and we were only in Switzerland for about 48 hours. So I didn't change any money into Swiss francs. I had euros and we didn't have any problem. People took our, they didn't love it, but yeah.
Particularly US dollars. Yeah. Oh, US dollars, very
yeah,
nice.
They didn't actually ask, but euros were completely welcome at the places that we went. They usually wanted to give us change in Swiss francs. So presto, we have Swiss francs now, but yeah.
It's funny they could just do the exchange rate on the fly.
The only two I can think of right offhand are Capital One and Chase, but there are several cards that offer no fee for international transactions, and that is something definitely you want to watch out for, because my first trip to Europe, no one told me, and I came home with a lot of fees and a little less souvenirs than I would have if I had known.
Yes. So that's... And you do want to notify your credit card. I learned the hard way. You want to notify your credit card company before you go. First of all, because when you email your friends to ask for help, they'll assume that you're a scam artist, actually, and not yourself. But
God, your email got hijacked.
Somebody's asking me for your... We did have a situation where the card that we... And I had actually said we were going to be going out of town, but that card got locked up and it never got unlocked. Fortunately, we had another card with us, and that, I've had that card for 800 years, and they're like, oh, Elizabeth's traveling again, no problem. So we were able to get, but we were stuck in a really nice restaurant in Amsterdam, in the red light district, with nothing to pay our bill with, and my husband had to run back to our hotel.
Were you afraid you were going to have to dance for
yes,
something?
I didn't know.
You'd have to run out of window.
If I asked to wash the dishes, it might mean something different here, so.
You had something to pay your bill
that was really intensely embarrassing too, because not only are you an American, a tourist, right. And we were trying to find restaurants that were not touristy, that were inhabited by the locals, and we definitely found one, and they were so nice, and they actually apologized to me for the inconvenience while I sat there drinking water waiting for my husband to come back. So they were so super nice, but yeah, you want to make sure you tell your credit cards where you're going.
I love that while that was going on, you were sitting there drinking on your husband.
Water. I had several glasses of wine, but I was suddenly worried that I wouldn't be able to pay for it.
So what about your smartphone? You know, we don't want our apps updating while we're roaming in Europe. So what do you guys do for that?
You can actually turn off the cellular data. Yes. So yeah, so you can actually use it as a camera. You can use it for Wi-Fi. So whenever you find a Wi-Fi network, I actually, one of the first places I went in Amsterdam was a brewery. Starting to sound like a lush, but, and they had free Wi-Fi. The password was just up on the wall. It was very easy. And I was able to use it and post, you know, I could post from Amsterdam. The airport in Amsterdam also has free Wi-Fi. More and more places have free Wi-Fi. So you can use your Wi-Fi. Just make sure your cellular data is turned off so that you won't be surprised.
But there are a lot of plans that you can purchase if you wanted, if you find yourself having to make calls over there, if you're trying to sort of reconfirm connections, things like that, you can, through your U.S. provider, purchase minutes or a plan that will allow you to use your cellular device overseas. But more, it's definitely easier if you can find sort of Wi-Fi hotspots, things like that. But there are options out there. You're just going to pay a little bit more for them.
Cool. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. On behalf of Elizabeth, Amy, Andy, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.